Caitlin Buss, Deputy Editorial Page Editor of the great award-winning The Detroit News, with some reflection on last night's gubernatorial debate, which somehow I got the equipment to work properly and I got to see it, and a very troubling column. And because I believe in her, trust her, respect her so much, when I see a column like this one that ran yesterday in the Detroit News in the Think section with the headline, "With Socialism on the Rise, Don't Count Out El Sayed," no one, including Republicans, should be terribly surprised that progressive Democrat candidate Abdul El Sayed could very well win Michigan's Senate primary race, or that Democrat socialist candidates are gaining traction throughout the country, fueled by enthusiasm from young voters. I'm not going to lie to you, Caitlin, this scares the hell out of me.
Well, and you and my mom has been kind of in my ear about it quite a bit, too. She didn't love it. but I think, you know, as I keep saying to her, I'm just trying to explain. I am not defending socialism. So let's put that out there. I'm just trying to explain why we're here. And, you know, I'm 40. So I'm 10 years older than this age group of people that are drawn to these ideas, I think, increasingly. And, you know, what I've witnessed has been similar to them. I mean, government involvement at every step of the way, certainly at the federal level, right? For the past 20 years. And so now they're saying, hey, we want to see, you know, some of that in our pocket, not just the companies that the government likes.
Why not fix it, though, through the system that has been proven to be the best system in the world? Why would they turn, I think I know the answer, but why would they turn to a system that has not worked ever, anywhere?
Yeah, though that's a great question. I think there's a lack of knowledge about history. One, I just think widespread, they don't know that these ideas have been tried and failed. But I think also Trump, and I don't want to blame Trump for this happening, but I think there was such maybe hope behind Trump's presidency for some of these groups that, you know, he would bust through the system or finally expose the system for what it is. And so when you couple that with, you know, the already underlying frustration with things not going the right way, they're like, you know, we want this to work for us. No one has delivered on really what they said they were going to do.
Well, and it's hard to argue with them because we watched this happening in universities and we talked about it, but nobody really did anything about it. I don't know if we felt we couldn't say something. You know, when they started saying everyone on campus should have freedom of speech except conservatives. I mean, and they would literally riot if a conservative was booked to speak to anybody on a campus. And we stood back and said, well, boy, that's terrible. Well, but we didn't do anything about it.
Yeah. No, and, you know, Trump, I want to say he fulfilled some of those cultural, you know, changes that I think most Americans were looking for, some more fairness in free speech. But there's been so many other questions, I think, that have arisen, you know, during his now second term, too, that, you know, it's just the timing is what it is. And it's kind of becoming this perfect storm leading up to this primary. And Abdul's found himself somehow, you know, right in the middle of it.
Filling the gap, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, giving people another choice, even if it's not a good choice, it's another choice. And I think that the youth just see it as another choice because the other way isn't working. I don't think they're thinking beyond that. They should watch New York and see what's going on there. What about all those free grocery stores, free bus rides, free this, free that, that has not come to fruition?
Yeah, their air at 78, right? I think that's what he told everyone they needed to keep their air at. So
people can die like they do in Europe because of worried about global warming.
Yeah. So
unbelievable.
It's become, I think, you know, it might be the biggest Senate race in the country. I mean, it's just right here in our backyard. So very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. Speaking of interesting, after screwing up the first debate one way or another, I did watch last night, which is crazy to have two in a row, but I don't set these things up. But what did you think of the debate from Wood TV in Grand Rapids, United States Representative John James, Perry Johnson, and former Attorney General Mike Cox? What did you think?
you know, I thought it was better than the first one that week on everyone's part. So I thought everyone handled themselves a bit better. There were, of course, some barbs from a couple of the candidates that I maybe would have done differently. You know, I wasn't thrilled to see such division. I don't think it's ultimately helpful, but I'm realistic enough to know that, you know, one of them just wants to win this. I think any of them will have a hard time facing probably Benson. It may not be her, but that's looking like what it will be. So my hope now is that they focus on, you know, the general basically from here on out and get past this pettiness. I don't think any of it is really resonating. You know, I don't think the polling is, I don't think we know where it stands right now. So I think they need to look forward. That's what I hope.
Well, it was fascinating and interesting is another way of putting it. You've got Perry Johnson, who says and is at this point kind of an outsider. He says mm-hmm. he's beholden to no one. And because of that, I'm in an ideal position to be able to bring the quality and efficiency to Michigan. But mm-hmm. there are a lot of things attached to him that are not as attractive, I guess. And people know Mike Cox. He's been a upstanding and outstanding guy, as has Representative John James. You hate mm-hmm. to hear all of the things that are being said in all the commercials. They're really bad because they're going to make the actual election even tougher for them to beat what might, as you say, may indeed be Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson. So it's just it's a tough time, that's for sure.
I think it's probably between Cox and James. And, you know, I see kind of different routes for each of them, different appeal to different groups of voters. So I think both of them have a route to winning if they make it through this. But whether or not it's going to be James or Cox, I don't know. We're going to see.
How close are we to the new podcast, Common Sense, with Caitlin and Kelly?
Yeah, no, I did talk about it yesterday. So it's still an idea we're working on.
Well, Caitlin Buss, Kelly Cobb, two very interesting and brilliant thinkers. I think you'd bring a lot to the podcast. And I know you said, yeah, but with the little kids, do it on the kitchen table. Let the little kids run around and make noise, because that's America. That's life. That's what we all deal with, or the people you're going to be reaching deal with. Here's something I hope you'll reach for if you haven't already. We had Dr. Timothy Nash on from the noted Northwood University economist, along with Dr. George Nash, not related, but presidential historian. As America celebrates 250 years of independence, books and the founding fathers and their influence on America today is the very book we'd want all those kids who feel that communism light or socialism light, as you called it in your column, should read, but we'll never get them to read it. But it is worth it for the rest of us to take a fresh look at the leaders who shaped our nation beyond their roles as soldiers, statesmen, revolutionaries. The founders were avid readers who believed that knowledge and education were essential to preserving liberty. We probably have done ourselves harm by always portraying these guys, the founders, the framers, as old men. It's just lately we've been saying, no, he was 21. This guy was 23. This guy was 22. I mean, that might have resonated a little better with these kids today.
I agree. I've always been fascinated in the lives of those people, but not everyone is. I do want, there is hope. And even my kids, you know, they're not huge into reading, certainly not all of them, but there is new media out there about founding principles. So parents should find it. There's a show called The Tuttle Twins. It's great.
What is it again?
It's called The Tuttle Twins. Free market principles, and it's a cartoon. So parents should check it out.
And frankly, call it brainwashing if you want, or rightwashing.
Yeah, exactly.
it is something. If it's something, we got to get through to the kids early on, because as we see, if we leave it to the people they face in most of the universities, they get screwed up and actually think socialism works, and there isn't a place that it ever has worked.
No, you're right. So The I'm working Tuttle on it twins. Too with my kids.
I'm sure you are. The Tuttle twins. Caitlin Buss, yep. Deputy Editorial Page Editor of the Detroit News. God bless you and Kelly, and have a great weekend.
Okay, you too, Paul. Thanks.
Thank you. 142 at WJR. You know, throughout the course of our lives, we all have those people who we can count on. We do. People who would drop everything and rush to help us if we have a challenge to overcome. It's really, that's the textbook definition of dependability. And now for 87 years, we Michiganders have counted on Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan to stand behind us during life's biggest moments. Babies being born, broken bones being repaired, times when we need care that improves the quality and oftentimes the length of our life. Blue Cross pays more than $100 million every day, more than $100 million every day for the care of millions of us, doing their work in partnership with doctors and hospitals, providing health insurance in every zip code in all 83 Michigan counties, under the great leadership of Tricia Keith, president and CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Blue Cross makes sure we get the care we need wherever and whenever we need it, thanks to their nationwide network of 2 million participating care providers. They're standing behind us every day for 87 years. And when you can rely on a company to be there for you again and again and again, that, my friends, is dependability. That, my friends, is Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Learn more about their work at miBlueDaily.com. That's MI like in Michigan, miBlueDaily.com. And congratulations to the team, and the family of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. J.D. Power naming them number one in customer satisfaction for the third year in a row, 4 out of 5 years. That's dependability. And that's affordability. And we'll never forget that affordability matters. 144 at 760 WJR.